We are jumping, we started this series last week on hope and the promise, and with everything that's happening in our culture, the divisions, all the crazy stuff that's going on, focusing on who Christ is and what he's called us to do during this time, I think is really important. And so last week we talked about when God gave Jesus was a gift of peace to us. And what we want to talk about today is how when Jesus came, it wasn't just showing us his love and showing us his power, but through the cross, he gave us a gift that it's not just showing us that we can get life from death, but he offers that power to us that anything that happens in our lives that's negative, any wound that we've experienced, any death that we've observed, that those things that were meant to harm us, God can use it for the good. And he showed us that on the cross, that there is power in the Holy Spirit to turn something that's as bad as the cross into something that symbolizes now the love and the grace of God. And so Zach's going to help me with this message. There's three main points. Could you give a hand for Zach as he comes up? There's three main things that we're going to point out today, and that's the power of the cross. It transforms offense into forgiveness. It transforms death into life, and it transforms curses into blessings. How many of you have got offended in your life? Anybody has ever offended you? How many of you have ever experienced death of a loved one? How many of you have ever experienced a curse that seemed like a curse on your life? God can turn all of those things around, and he demonstrated that on the cross. And so can you give a hand to he's no longer single. I can't say, I used to always introduce him as this single available guy, but no, he's married with a kid. And but yeah, give a warm welcome to Zach.
Thank you. My wife is outside with my daughter. If you get a chance, go say hi to her. But love Pastor John. This guy is amazing. He has practically raised me in the church, and he's like my spiritual father. And so I owe a lot of who I am today to him. And I talk about that because I really want to talk about my earthly father this morning. And we're talking about the power of the cross, the hope that we have in the power of the cross. And my dad didn't make a lot of good decisions in life before. And some of those decisions actually landed him in prison. And because of that, our family was really hurt. I was really hurt and took it personally and did not forgive him for a long time. My segue into my choice of forgiveness was when I came to know God and I experienced his forgiveness for myself. That's when I began to look at the people in my life that I have not forgiven, that I knew God wanted me to forgive, and my dad was one of those people. And then it took a while, but I ended up forgiving him in my heart, and then later on, God asked me to tell him that you forgive him. Let him know that you have forgiven him. And so I sat my dad down one afternoon. He was off. I was off, and we sat down together outside, and we were having lunch, and I told him, hey, Dad, I just want to let you know that I forgive you. Forgive you for all of the different things I started listing off, the different hurts and pains that I had and the things that I held on to. And he started crying, and I started crying during that time. And at the end of our little moment, like, that was the first time we've really hugged before, too. We never really hugged each other or anything like that until that moment. And he said, thank you. He thanked me amongst his sobbing. He thanked me. And from then on, when I look at my dad, I don't feel any of the hurt. I don't feel any of the pain. All I see is like a pride and a joy and a love and an honor that I did not have before, prior to that. I did not have before. And our relationship is so much better. And I say that because the promise of the cross, the promise and power of the cross, and the hope that we have transforms offense into forgiveness. And I've seen that in my life personally happen. And I don't know about you, but you may have situations where you've experienced the same thing. Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he cries out to his Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." We have an opportunity to forgive those who may not understand the gravity of what they do. All they know is to hurt those who hurt them. Or that's the only way that they know how to protect themselves. Or that's the only way that they may know how to show love or whatnot. They don't know. And we have this opportunity to forgive. The other promise of that is death into life. The hope of the cross turns death into life. And that's one of my hearts, is to see my entire family come to know God. So my grandma, she was the only one before that used to go to church. And she would pray for us all the time. She was the prayer warrior of our family. How many are the prayer warriors of your family? Or anybody? You know who? But you know who the prayer warriors are in your family, right? Amen? And thank God for those people, because it's because of people like that who consistently and constantly pester God on our behalf so that we can stand in this place, so we can stand in his goodness, we can stand in his grace. Amen. And my mom just recently came to know the Lord last year. I think I mentioned that another week, and I'm super proud of her. My brother came to know God when he was a senior in high school, kind of walked away a little bit, not living his life, but still believing for my dad, my sister, and my other brother. Three more of my immediate family. Let's do this, God. But that is the power and hope of the cross, that this life is temporary, that this life is not the end. This is not all of it. This is just a blip in time where we, at the end of our life, we get to spend eternity with our Father in heaven. Eternity worshiping him, loving him, and serving him with the people that we love. That's our hope. And we can hope in the cross. Jesus, while he was hanging between two criminals, the criminal said to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Remember me." Through the cross, we have a confidence, just knowing that the end of this life, it's only the beginning. Only the beginning. And I love what John said in John 1, 29. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Like, I love it. I love it. I love it. We have the amazing opportunity. We have the opportunity. The hope of the cross, to be able to share that with others. We have the hope now that what is going on in our lives currently, right now, whether it be good or bad, no matter what it is, that we have a hope that this is temporary and we have a life that is greater in store for us. So no matter what 2020 brings at us, no matter what 2021 brings at us, no matter what it is, we will not let it steal our joy and our hope for a life that God has in store for us. Amen? Don't let the things of this world dictate the way that you feel. Don't let the things of this world steal your joy. It is not worth it. Find your hope, find your joy in the cross, in the promises of the word, because that is where your joy should lie. That is where your treasure is. Amen? Thank you.
Thank you, Zach. It's not just the thing with the cross is it's not just that we have this promise that's going to happen after this life. But it said that he rose again from the dead and he walked among us. And so the promise is not just eternal life, but it's here and now. Amen? How many of you had a painful 2020? It was uncomfortable. It could be painful that there was some disappointments, discouragements that happened in 2020. When we experience pain, any kind of discomfort and suffering, what's the first thing that happens when you feel pain? Physical pain. You cry? You seek God? What happens when a bee lands on you? We went hunting. I always bring hunting into it. And my friend put his hand on this tree and woke up this huge beehive and ended up running away. Nothing happened to him. But when you get a bee sting, where do you look? You look at the place of pain. I remember when I was growing up, or when Caden was growing up in our family, and he had growing pains, and he was grumbling about his leg being sore. And so I started pinching his arm. And I'm like slowly, you know, I'm pinching it, and not super hard, but I'm pinching it and saying, is it still sore? He's like, yeah. And then I started like pinching it harder. Is it still sore? No, my arm's sore. And I'm like, see, I healed your leg. And we can't, whenever there's something sore, we focus on it. And this 2020 has been a painful year, and it's easy to focus on the pain. I just finished my last class of seminary. I did, Jake said several months ago that I finished my seminary, but I finished my comp exam. I still had one class to go. I did my seminary research paper on how COVID impacted the churches in Hawaii. And the reason why I did my research paper on that was because it affected me. I felt a lot of discomfort because we had to cancel our services. Remember that? We all could only stay in our homes. All the different things were canceled. We went from being online to being out in the field and then out in the field to being in here. So many different things going on. And all I could keep my, like, the only thing that got my attention was, like, this is uncomfortable. This is painful. I think that a lot of churches are going through like a lot of stuff, and I wanted to know how God was using this COVID for the good of the church. How many of you think that there was a pruning that happened in the church during this whole COVID season? Not just our church, but like a lot of churches. How many of you think that God increased the church during this season? How many of you think that during this time that God built up his church? How many of you think that that he used the church to benefit the world? Okay, so these are all questions that I had. And my premise going into this, I'm not as spiritual as you, but my premise was that God was pruning stuff in the church and that the church was suffering and that maybe the outside of the church benefited more than the inside because we couldn't meet together. I want to show you the data of what I discovered. I interviewed 5 pastors, 1 from Maui, 4 from Oahu, churches that ranged from 150 in membership to 5,000 in membership, and our interview each one, and then I transcribed every interview, and then I highlighted every mention of increase and put a note of what increased. And then I highlighted with a different color all the decreases and put a note besides every highlight of decrease. So this is what I found. I thought it was very interesting, and it wasn't what I thought. You can see on the top the top columns, expansion, contraction, modalic, sodalic. Modalic just means benefiting the church. Sodalic means benefiting our community outside the church. What I saw in our conversations was that there was 129 mentions of increase and only 47 of decrease. More than double of triple of what was decreased was increased. And I, on the left-hand side, you can see there's a whole bunch of different areas that experience increased faith, mentorship, deepening relationships, online meetings via Zoom. So all of those things. So the top three, if you go to the top three areas where the church expanded and across the board, you know, this is five different churches. Can you go to the next slide, please? The top three areas, we're not going to go through all of them, but the top three, every single church said that they were outreaching into the community more than before COVID happened. So there was feeding programs, there was distribution programs, there was giving to schools, areas of need. All of those things were happening during COVID. Online meetings and small groups expanded. So even though we couldn't meet in these large settings, there was all of these smaller meetings that were going on, and every single church said that their members started meeting in smaller groups, and because of that, relationships deepened. The next one is leadership, that people started serving that did not serve before. The top three areas of contraction, let's look at that. And go to the next slide, please. So the three areas of contraction, of course, corporate gathering, and then leadership was a contraction for some because it was interesting that leadership shifted during this time in every single church, just because of different things that happen socially with different families. But overall, there was more people that started serving than people that stopped serving. And then there was mentions of decrease in online meeting once these churches started meeting physically. So the expansion far outweighed the contraction. So how many think that you already see the data. So go to the next slide. This is the way that I calculated whether something was serving the world or the church. So like online meetings, does that benefit the community or the church? The church, or yeah, it does both, but mainly it leans more toward the church. So what I did was I looked at expansion, contraction, separated the contraction from the expansion and got a value for modalic because it benefits the church more than the community. But the sodalic, or benefiting the community, can you go to the next slide, please? It would be taking the expansion minus the contraction, and then you come up with that value. So overall, guess what benefited more? The church. So you go to that final value, that final slide. If you count all of those numbers up, 54, a value of 54 of edifying activities within the church and 30 in our community. So this is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is that he took something, pruned our corporate gatherings, but through pruning our corporate gatherings, there is increase across the board in all of these different areas, not just to the church, but also an increase in outreach to our community. And one of the things that stuck out as I was talking to these churches is that every single church experienced an increase in finance. You wouldn't assume that. But every single church experienced an increase in finance. One of the churches purchased a $6 million restaurant on Oahu. And it was supposed to be $11 million, but they got it for $6 million because the restaurant went out of business. And they're using it as an outreach center right next to the university. And they're going to be meeting in that church. They didn't have a building before this. They met in a cafeteria. But this opportunity opened up, and so now they're actually in a restaurant, a famous restaurant on Oahu. And the church itself raised $2 million to move in, so they're already in the building, and this happened during the pandemic. So three out of the five churches the members got together and did improvements to the properties that they had, and one actually acquired a property. So it's amazing that in this season of time that God worked within the churches and used it for the good. And so this is the, do we have that verse? So this is the verse that I conclude today with. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You might be feeling subtractions in your life right now. You might be feeling pain. You might be feeling discomfort because of all the things that are happening. And in the same way that I didn't see all the good things that God was doing because I was so focused on the challenges, I was totally oblivious to the amazing things that God was doing within his church, not just in our church, but in other churches around the island. And in our lives, it's so easy to get focused on the pain, the thing that is discomforting us, that we don't see the character that God's building, the internal fortitude, the faith that he's growing in our lives. And what God wants in all of our lives, I believe, is that through the times of hardship, that we can still have faith and trust in who God is. And I'll just close at this, that when Jesus was on the cross, he obeyed God every single word that God told him. And it led him to the place where he was hanging on the cross and he was breathing his last breath. Every act of obedience led him to a place where he was suffering and dying for something that he didn't do. And in his pain and in his suffering, as he's breathing his last breath, instead of a question that coming out of his mouth and saying, God, why is this happening? The thing that comes out of his mouth is, into your hands I commit my spirit. It was a verbalization of trust, even in pain. And I think the power of the cross, we're talking about the power of the cross today, that God is calling us to a deeper level of faith, that in everything that we've experienced in 2020, the one thing that I feel God is challenging us to do is to trust him even in uncertainty, trust him even in pain, and to declare our faith in him even when things aren't going exactly the way that we want. Amen. Can we all stand? And we're going to close with a song. We'll just sing the song together. Lord, that you've called us into your kingdom and you've asked us to be ambassadors of who you are to our community and to this world. God, we thank you for adopting us into your family. And Lord, we pray that during this Christmas season that we would keep you the focus of our lives. And Lord, that we'd advance your kingdom through the relationships that we have with those in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a great week.